It's October 4th, and in our exploration of Goosebumps, last time we talked about a Strange Matter book, which is kind of what I'm calling a bump off, a Goosebumps knockoff. And today, we're just going to take a quick look at all of the other Strange Matter books. Now, there are, let's see, blah, blah, blah. I did a bad scroll there. There are 14 books in the series. Why stop at 13, the spooky number? Let's just go with that. So I'll read you a brief synopsis of each, and then we'll talk about it. Number one is No Substitutions. Curtis and Shelley find their lives in danger when they encounter a sinister substitute teacher hiding a book about werewolves. Really hiding a book about werewolves? I mean, like, no teacher would hide a book. Although this is a genius way to trick kids into reading. You pretend that there's this, like, secret off-limits book, and it's like, it just sits here on the shelf, it's available to you, but you may not read it. That'd make every kid want to read it for sure. I think that's, like, why three-quarters of the people who read Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret read it. They heard it was, like, weird sexy or something, and then they were like, I mean, a chick has her period, I guess. I don't know if that's what you're looking for. Two is The Midnight Game. Tyler sneaks out of his house at midnight to attend a very special football game. However, he is the only one in the stands when the players come onto the field, crawling up out of the ground. So we have zombie football? That's actually not a terrible idea. I mean, what are the ethics of reviving the dead to play combat sports? If they have no awareness, it might not be the worst thing. Can a zombie ever suffer from CTE? 3. Driven to Death. Three ghosts from a phantom pirate ship try to enslave Darren and his older brother David. Finally, we have Pirates as Slavers, a less romantic, more realistic version of pirates. I'm tired of handsome, dashing pirates. Give me toothless sea rapists. That is what pirates are, my friends. 4. A Place to Hide. While searching the dark woods for a lost fort, 12-year-old Trey and his friends encounter horrible, scaly monsters that seem intent on stopping them. Wait, stopping them from finding the fort? Why? What possible motive would they have to prevent children from finding their own fort, which ostensibly they know where it is because they put it there? Have I just been tricked into thinking these books are interesting? Damn it. They're not interesting. Say it with me, they're not interesting. I'm just trying to understand their specific uninterestingness, which is, I guess, an interesting thing to consider. 5. The last one in. I was hoping this was the last in line, but it's not quite a Dio album. 13-year-old Michelle, her older sister, and a neighbor boy explore a lakeside cavern searching for a monster which some people believe is only a hoax. I read practically this same book for the Graveyard School series, coming up. But seriously, it's like the exact same idea. It's a Nessie, right? You're like, well, I'm out of ideas. How about if we had a Nessie, but it doesn't live in Scotland because I can't understand what anyone there is saying. Number 6 is Bad Circuits, which we covered in detail. 7, Fly the Unfriendly Skies. After being abducted from their plane, Morgan and Kelly discover sinister alien space visitors battling to secure the survival of their race. Wait a minute, abducted mid-flight? That seems like the most overly complicated abduction scheme of all time. Why not get some guy who's backpacking or something alone in the woods? Or someone who's asleep? A cow that you could just turn inside out or something? I'm on the couch like 12 hours out of 15 hours on a Saturday, moving none miles an hour. Seems like it would be much easier to abduct me. Frozen dinners. Left alone in the mountain home of their uncle during a blizzard, three children struggle against an attack by a pack of abominable snowmen who attempt to break into the house. First of all, these books, you know, at various times, you know, win awards for worst parenting. I saw the movie, I think it's called The Lodge, and it's about like a dad and a stepmom. And the mom shot herself in the head and is played by Alicia Silverstone in a very brief cameo. And I was like, was that her? I think that was her. But then you're like, but why would that be her? Like, isn't she bigger than being in 4 seconds of a flashback in a movie? But then you're like, Rachel Lee Cook, she's all that herself, is in Spirit Halloween the movie. So like, what the fuck do I know? But anyway, in that movie, the dad leaves the kids in like a remote lodge alone with their stepmom for like 3 days. The stepmom is like totally incapable of raising children and is also horribly scarred by experiences being in like a cult or something. And boy, is it just irresponsible by dad on so many levels. But anyway, Frozen Dinners kind of has the same plot as De-Evolution by Max Brooks, but for kids, which isn't a terrible idea. It works a lot better in De-Evolution than it has any business doing. But I'm guessing Frozen Dinners has fewer decapitations. Deadly Delivery. Simon and Sarah are at home with a hopeless babysitter when a mysterious late-night delivery arrives, putting the children through a true night of terror. My bet is a pizza with the wrong toppings. I was babysitting. The pizza had mushrooms, and that's when my hell began. I always sort of disliked babysitters when I was a kid. It was like some weird person in your house who didn't really know anything other than they seemed to know you weren't supposed to do anything fun. How do they all know, you wonder as a kid? Then as an adult, you realize it's because pretty much everything kids want to do is stuff they're not supposed to do. So a babysitter who's even somewhat aware will kind of have their antenna up for kids doing bullshit. Next is number 10, Nightmare, spelled with a K. Dared to by a school friend, Mitchell steals a valuable artifact from an elaborate suit of armor at the museum, beginning a series of terrifying nightmares about a black knight that turn out to be all too real. I mean, also, maybe don't be a dick and steal from a goddamn museum. There is another book later with a kid vandalizing statues in a museum. What's with kids wrecking stuff in museums? Is this predicting people ruining paintings because that will fix climate change somehow? Book 11, Something Rotten. Rock collector Joe Alistair ventures into an unexplored section of the local underground cavern complex and discovers not only what happened to the missing owner, but something even more terrible. God, I would have killed for a local underground cavern complex when I was a kid. We had the Whoops, which seemed awesome, but basically it was a big ditch that you could ride your bike through, up and down, kind of like a half pipe. I guess if this underground tunnel system was in my town, it would have eventually become a gated community. Maybe that's the new built on an Indian burial ground, built on top of a pretty fun place where kids did dumb stuff. The ghost of their lost retainers and mangled bicycles will haunt you. 12. Dead on its tracks. At first, sneaking on board the Fairfield Express was just a harmless diversion. But after Elizabeth and Jacob are mistakenly locked in, the engine begins to move. Right before their eyes, the train transforms into a chilling, haunted death ride. Kids in Fairfield, the town from all these Strange Matter books, do have a fun 80s vibe. They're like in caves, they're sneaking onto trains. I feel like there's no fucking way a kid today would ever get anywhere close to a train solo. Or a cave. Go to a trunk or treat, kid. We can't have you walking around the block. We need to have you in a church parking lot taking candy out of cars that people drove there, even though that's kind of also exactly what we've told you not to do your entire life. Ugh, as a guy who likes walking a lot, is there any more stupid car-based shit than a trunk or treat? 13. Toy Trouble. When avid toy collector Karen Sanders and her friends find a new toy store in town, they are overwhelmed with excitement, but their feelings soon turn to horror when the treasures they bring home take on evil lives of their own. You know, evil shop is one thing, but these evil toy shops in this and Monster Blood and some other things, that's like another level of fucked up. Evil shops should be like an 18 plus thing, you know what I mean? Selling haunted toys is like selling vapes to kids. 14. Plant People. When a strange family moves into the empty house in Rachel Pearson's neighborhood, she begins to notice some unusual behavior, but nothing prepares her for the monstrous plants that threaten to devour the neighborhood and soon the world. They got to 14 books before their first blatant Goosebumps ripoff, but you know, whatever. It does have a very boring name, The Plant People. I mean, it's kind of like a fun 50s thing, but that's probably not what 90s kids are jonesing for. Guys, I was very wrong. There aren't 14, there's like 20-some. So we're going to just keep going. Creature Feature, number 15. Jonathan Drake and his friends get sucked into the big screen at an old rundown 50s drive-in theater. Okay, Creature Feature at a drive-in. Maybe they were going for a 50s thing. The Weird, Weird West. An earthquake unleashes Clayton T. Motley, an undead zombie gunslinger looking for revenge on Shane Reese, whose ancestors killed him 150 years ago. I really hope this is like a serious fucking killer going after like a 7-year-old for pretty much no reason. God, that would be great. You imagine? Clayton T. Motley was killed by this kid's, you know, great-great-great-grandpa, and now he's like, I'll kill a 7-year-old. Hey, in my day, a 7-year-old is a man, and, you know, I can shoot a man just to watch him die. 17. Tune Into Terror. Billy Keane wishes he had never played Nexus, the online video game that has taken the world by storm after a poltergeist of a enraged player begins to haunt him, turning household appliances against him. And if Billy isn't careful, this game could end with a fatal error. I feel like fatal error is a computer term that probably doesn't work today, but, you know, this one is a classic. The video game becomes real. It's such a funny premise because there are so many, like, books and movies about this, and there are so none incidents even remotely like this in real life. 18. The Fairfield Triangle. Things always turn up missing in the Fairfield Triangle, and Russell Drake wants to know why. His search, assisted by the Barker sisters, is more successful than he had hoped. They find themselves trapped in a never-changing landscape with no way to get out. I like this, that they have their own Bermuda Triangle. I'd like to be the mayor of a small town with something like this. Make it a big tourist trap. I think I'd go for deepest hole in the United States. That seems very unverifiable, and you could probably make a mint off of retrieving the shit people tried to disappear down the hole, then being like, bro, I found that shit you threw down there. I could blackmail my way into retirement. That's good mayoring. Bigfoot, Big Trouble. Oliver Tuttle has an ulterior motive for going to camp this summer. On the long bus ride through the mountains, he can only concentrate on one thing. Oliver is going to catch a monster. Now, far off a hiking trail, in a remote area of the forest, he finds what he is looking for, and hopes to live to regret it. What a terrible, stupid idea. This is like sometimes when you see a cat catches something, and then once the cat gets it, they have no idea what to do with it. And they're like, I immediately regret doing this. 20. Doorway to Doom. Waylon Burst is afraid of his own shadow. He's convinced that monsters, ghouls, and ghosts lurk around every corner of his hometown of Fairfield. To ensure his own safety, he's become a hermit. He doesn't leave his house unless he has to, and he stays in his room most of the time. Recently, however, Waylon's heard strange noises in his house. Strange ghostly noises. The danger is coming from inside the house! I mean, is any kid not a hermit of sorts? You know, maybe even like an involuntary hermit? An inherm? I would think most kids are inherms of a sort. I mean, what are they going to do? Where are they going? Under wraps. Attending an exhibition of mummies at the school gym. Who could have predicted this would be about mummies? Jonathan Drake and his friends, Albert, and also at the school gym. Hey, kids, we brought in corpses for you to look at. Him and his friends are dared to prove that the mummies aren't frauds by reading a reanimation scroll. The scroll works way too well, however. Who is accusing mummies of being frauds? You mummy, you fraud! Frauds how? Talking a big game about their love of cats? Mummy deniers are a thing now? Like the British Museum made them up just to sell tickets? 22. Dangerous Waters. Wendy O'Darby and her friends discover that the stories of the squirming cactus, the giant alligators in the sewers, and other urban folktales are true down in the sewers. Wendy O'Darby, her mom, Siobhan O'Brien, and her dad, Officer Paddy O'Patrick. Second sighting. When Sean Edwards and his sister, Patricia, pick up a dazed and frightened hitchhiker on their way home from a lecture on UFOs, they find out more than they ever expected about extraterrestrials and the men in black who are determined to hunt them down. I am not a big fan of picking up hitchhikers. I did it one time on the urging of a friend who is kind of a dickhead. He was like, yeah, let's pick him up. It'll be interesting. Then this dude fell asleep, my friend. He fell asleep, and it was me and this guy, and I deeply regretted picking him up, even though he didn't turn out to be, like, super weird or, like, a problem. It was still not my favorite choice. Nightcrawlers. Howard Peel finds a mysterious gold ring that gives him the power to control insects, at least until the ring's rightful owner comes looking for it. Other than mildly annoying people at a picnic, I don't know how useful this is. It's wildly impractical. I think this used to be an Ant-Man power that they abandoned because it's just stupid. Splitting Image. Though he knew better than to try out the software emailed to him from an unknown source, Alan couldn't help himself. It was the coolest virtual fighter game he'd ever seen, but he didn't realize he would soon begin morphing into its characters. Okay. Another video game where, you know, the person becomes the game. I have to say, though, Virtua Fighter was pretty cool. It looked cool anyway. I was always a sucker for any game where the characters took up two-thirds of the screen. I was always like, this must be amazing, even though the opposite always seems to be true. Just make the sprites giant and you will get Young Pete's money. 26. The Headless Rider. Max Chandler and his friend Michael are looking to do something on a day off from school. When they decide to go to Carson Creek, they instantly regret it when they are chased by the headless ghost on a motorcycle. Yes, awesome, finally. It's a Ghost Rider Headless Horseman knockoff, but at least there's a ghost on a motorcycle. If I was a ghost, I would definitely ride a motorcycle. What's gonna happen? I'll get in an accident? Who cares? My head is a flaming skull. I'll be fine. Or I won't. And then, you know, I'll just be regular dead. 27. Primeval. Warning! Campers lost in Lost Cove Nation Park? Are advised to use extreme caution while in the area. Unconfirmed reports indicate the presence of large, unknown, potentially dangerous amnols. This is more than a little vague. I don't even have enough to go on to make fun of this, to be honest with you. I pride myself in making something out of nothing, but I got nothing here. 28. Off-worlder. Kelly Taylor and Patricia Edwards join intelligence agent Marlon Walker and a man in black to track down a dangerous alien from another world. So this is Men in Black, but with girls. I mean, if Men in Black was made today, it would definitely have a lot to say about the immigrant experience and probably a less bonkers Vincent D'Onofrio performance. I do think it would be weaker for that trade. 29. Shadow Chasers. The unwilling recipients of dangerous knowledge, Kelly Taylor and Destry Robbins are tracked down by a dangerous extraterrestrial who will stop at nothing to silence them. Wait, Kelly Taylor was in the last book. Kelly Taylor again? Can't this bitch stay out of trouble for 5 seconds? 30. Escape from Planet Earth. Destry can still sense that the off-worlder, the murderous alien that terrified her friends, is still alive. She's not wrong. Okay, so Kelly was in 28 and 29. Destry was in 29 and 30. So this is like a three-parter going on here? Come on, guys. But also, how do you end at 30? Don't you end at 31? Isn't that the way to go? Now, there were also, three books published in the series Strange Forces. It was double the size of a normal Strange Matter book, which seemed like unnecessary. United multiple characters. Let's see. Strange forces. The students of Fairfield Junior High have noticed that the strange things happening in their town are becoming more common and more dangerous. With each dreadful encounter, they are further convinced the monsters are real. Even worse, a evil entity known only as the Collector is dead set on destroying Fairfield. With the help of a small lizard-like monster named Rilo, sure, why not, the kids must band together to stop this paranormal being. I'm confused about the inclusion of a small lizard-like monster. Do you think this has any relevance? Is this just like, well, when we have a TV show or toys, you know what I mean? It's like, well, they're not going to want a bunch of stupid kids. We need something. Strange Forces 2. The evil Collector's supernatural invasion of Fairfield has been stopped. The battle is over, but the conflict has just begun. Just outside the battle-worn town, a renegade monster has taken up residence in Fairchild Manor. Rilo Burrow has found a new home. He is often visited by his human friends, the students of Fairfield Junior High. They have come to rely on Rilo to teach them how to use their new supernatural power, a gift from the Burrow to help guard against the resurgence of monstrous evil in their town, an evil they will face again? This has gotten or taken a real weird culty turn. Maybe Animorphs-y. Is there a real cult based on Animorphs? There kind of has to be, right? Strange Forces 3, Fairfield's Problem Just Got Worse. That's the full title. Strange Forces 3, Fairfield's Problem Just Got Worse. It's Halloween, and Fairfield has been voted the most haunted place in America. Media mania descends on the town along with the powers of evil. Can Rilo Burrow and his strange force of kids save the night? Or is this the last macabre holiday Fairfield will ever see? So wait, now we're saving the hauntedness from the media? Good luck, we can't even save American politics from the media.
Goosebumps. Reader beware, you're in for a scare.